Hi, I'm Dr. Seth Baum. I'm a preventive cardiologist and the president of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology. I'm here with the esteemed Dr. Matt Budoff, a professor of medicine at UCLA, and welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about the Odyssey Outcomes Trial, which was just reported at this meeting at the ACC 2018. We'll also discuss a little bit about two other trials that came before, Fourier and Spire. And we're going to have hopefully a robust conversation and then even move on to access. I would start just by asking you what your take was on the trial.
Well, you know, I think it was a nice complement to the prior two studies. We've had two previous trials that were both positive, and now we have a third. I think this one's a little bit different, different population, different length of treatment, but I think it does add a nice complement to what we already know.
So would you say that now that we have the three trials, it's safe to say that this class is an excellent class for reducing risk in across actually several different populations of patients with ASCVD?
No, absolutely. And I think that this trial adds another dimension, a little bit closer to acute coronary syndrome, a little bit longer follow-up. But I think it does complement the other two quite nicely.
So you and I, before this, we're talking about the 100 cut point, and we don't have the paper yet. We really can't get into the weeds. We can't discuss, you know, why certain things happen. But there was clearly something that happened at an LDL of 100. I want to ask you, if you had a patient post-ACS, LDL on maximally tolerated statin therapy of 99, what do you do with that patient?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any magical numbers, obviously. I think, though, that what this told me, at least, is as we get higher LDL, there appeared to be bigger benefits, and it was pretty robust, 21% overall benefit. You know, the CV death and those other endpoints looked quite robust as you get to the higher LDLs. And I think, as you know, you alluded to, there were some reasons potentially for that, but I don't think it's completely unheard of to have a high LDL and benefit more from an LDL-lowering drug.
Right, that's pretty much consistent with everything we know about this, correct?
Sure.
That the higher the LDL, the greater the risk, and therefore the greater the benefit of lowering the LDL, right?
Right.
People are trying to spin this as something new, maybe not anything really new, maybe simply that, and that we need to aggressively treat our patients. I'm also curious about, well, your experience in prescribing PCSK9 inhibitors and your ability to access them for your patients. Are you having great success? Is it a hard process?
I think it's easier than it used to be. I remember going to a doctor's office. We were going to have a meeting, and one of the nurse managers asked me, oh, you know, what are you here for? And I said, oh, we're going to be talking about Praluent. And she goes, oh, the tough one, and referring to the process
right.
of getting it approved. And I think now that we have outcome data, and at least now, you know, I mean, CV death and all-cause mortality were hierarchically a little bit lower, but it trends in the right direction. There is some more CV mortality trends that are in the right direction, which is nice to see because we didn't see that in the other trials. So I think, as expected, you lower LDL, you lower cardiovascular events, including CV death. And I think that's going to be an important nuance that we're going to now be able to talk more about. And I think that's going to make more people comfortable with this class of agents.
So more people, more clinicians comfortable in terms of prescribing drug.
Right, because we didn't see that with the first
right.
trial.
Okay.
So, you know, we didn't have the CV death reduction, and therefore I think there was some question about what we're really doing here by lowering LDL with PCSK9, and now I think it's a pretty straightforward message.
Right, so with regard to the first trial, for me, lowering the risk of stroke and heart attack, you know, has significant benefit, obviously, right? And some people tried to minimize that. It was a very short trial, and with all the lipid-lowering trials in the last decade, we never saw a mortality benefit. So it was not an outlier in that regard. My sense, and I'm wondering if you agree with this, is look at this, you know, sort of as a class in a sense, but more as a class affecting LDL. LDL is the bad guy, and we need to lower LDL as best we can. Dr. Fuster said it very well. His first question was, so this means we need to get LDL under 50, correct? And then, you know, the answer was yes. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. And I think even IMPROVE-IT, I'm not a huge fan of ezetimibe, but even the IMPROVE-IT trial getting LDLs to 55 showed some benefit there. And I think now that we move the needle further south, less than 50, you know, mean LDLs in the 40 range was very efficacious
right.
for our patients.
Right. I've seen a good number of FH patients not get access to drug. And I'm the secretary treasurer of the FH Foundation. I'm very involved in that organization. We've been trying very hard to improve access for those patients. They are a very high-risk group, and they have the very, very high LDLs. The FH Foundation published a study in Circulation showing that of patients with FH and LDLs over 190 on maximally tolerated statin therapy, they were all on at least moderate-intensity statin therapy, were rejected over 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Will that change?
I hope so. I think now that we have, again, synergy with three studies across three PCSK9 agents that all show event reduction, I think we can now, you know, do the necessary analyses and hopefully see access changing for the better. And I think you're right. You know, a stroke or a heart attack is a terrible event. And I think, you know, Odyssey was a little different. They withdrew therapy from 8% of people because their LDLs got too low. Which, you know, in retrospect, it may not have been the best thing to do, but despite that, there was still a significant event reduction, and again, as the LDLs went higher, it looks better and better, which I think fits those people you described with
right.
LDLs that are astronomically high.
Right.
Imagine if they had a subgroup of LDL above 190, what that would have looked like for
right.
event reduction.
Right, right. It could have been, I mean, I can't even imagine. It would have been so immense. So a little plug for something the American Society for Preventive Cardiology just did. I don't know if you saw this, but at the town hall yesterday, we released an app. It's an ASPC app that can be downloaded, a mobile app, and it can help doctors get access. There are many tools, many connections with other organizations, and I frankly would love everybody to download the ASPC app and join that app and get access. So a little plug for that.
No, that's great. I think we all need help, and we need little tricks to help us navigate this increasingly challenging environment with insurance companies and restricted access to therapies that have an indication. And even if you're prescribing according to the indication, you're still getting denied,
yeah,
right?
It's so funny. You know, when we started practice, you know, I often say this, and I think you would probably say it's true or agree with me, that 90% of what we prescribe was off-label. And now we can't even we can't prescribe anything and get it on-label,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, no, it's...
So it's kind of a crazy world and in which that patient-doctor relationship or interaction has been sort of undermined to some degree.
But, you know, you're calling and you're giving this information and then, you know, somebody says, no, I'm sorry, you can't get it. And you go, well, what kind of doctor are you? I'm a urologist,
right?
And I'm like, well, if I had a PSA question, then I would give you a call. But I think when it comes to whether or not my cardiac patient needs a PCSK9, I could probably make
right.
a better independent
decision.
Right.
You're not the right guy to make that decision,
yeah.
right?
So it is frustrating, and every insurance company does it differently. So I think the app or other tools like that, I know the National Lipid Association has a list of check boxes of five things that you should do before you call, those type of things, different types of tools to help clinicians get these therapies in those people that fit the indication and are, you know, are able to get it is going to be really important.
So hopefully everybody will download that ASPC app and use it. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, I would just remind people that the organizers of this study for the Odyssey trial that they presented, they had about 2 weeks
right.
to go through the data. So we don't have a lot of data points that I think we're all interested in. Some of the subgroup analyses that where they might have done better. We talked about the LDL above 100, but there's probably some other high-risk subgroups that might have had enhanced benefit. And also landmark analyses.
Mm-hmm.
We now have treatment up to 4 years. It would be nice to see how the curves separate if they're on it for at least 3, if they're on it for 4, and what the event reduction really is. Because this only represents a mean follow-up of about 2.8 years.
Right.
And some people were on it for longer, and I think that's going to be a really important analysis once that comes out. But we can't fault the investigators. They did a tremendous job of putting together a great study and a great presentation with literally two weeks.
I completely agree. I mean, they did a wonderful job, and they deserve a lot of credit. We've had a great time having this conversation. I enjoy being here. I thank Dr. Matt Budoff, and we'll sign off from ACC 2018.
Thank you again for having me.
Thank you.